Have you man seen that dance on TikTok?
I don't know.
The shock, bro. That's my dance. That's my dance all summer, fam. That is, listen, you see Basement Grooves? I even need to message Midas and Ray. I was like, listen, make sure you man have Cash Cobain on deck. Last man I'm doing Uno, I'll be like, fam. You guys already know Logan, it boys in the building. It's your boy, Dull Boy. I'm joined by my amazing, highly favored and blessed co-host, Young Wolf, Young Sasuke in the building. You know, vibes. Got that fully paid Dreams on.
Yes, sir.
MLS jersey on.
Mm-hmm.
Got the bling bling on as well. Got okay, other co-hosts.
Kind of get, you know what I'm saying?
Got other co-hosts. You might know him as Tyson Ola. You might know him as Tamora. You know, you might see him in Shoreditch of Your Bitch. But you'll definitely see him in Loden Bar with the millions.
Millions.
And millions of women. But this time around, he's not going to be with us at the WrestleMania pay-per-view stream. He's going to be up in Philadelphia.
Philly Delph.
Filling on some Delphs, you see it? Filling on some Delphines, fam. Delphines and Daphnes, you see it? But how's everyone doing today?
Yeah, good, man. Chilling.
I'm great. Can you not see? Quality. Oh,
How long will it last?
We don't know, but let's just run it anyways.
let's be going. Man, where should we start off this week? So there's a lot of noteworthy stuff within the world outside of WWE and AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can start off with New Japan Cup. The finals are set. Mm-hmm. Roki Goto versus Yota Tsuji. Not going to lie to you, if you guys told me that this was going to be the final, I would have been a bit like, nah, that's not happening. Obviously, there's been some injuries, there's been change of plans within the cup. But this is a very, 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 very interesting final. What do you man think?
I think it's gone. Hold on,
Brown. When we're talking about let's make some new stars, yeah, Yota CG to the moon.
That's your guy, innit? That's your guy, innit?
Bro, you need to win this. But like, I hear it. I hear the story with Goro and, you know, doesn't win the big one, bro. But you see, it's time to prepare. In fact, we've done preparation. The future is now, fam. And what better way to start? What better way to start than to have Yota CG win the New Japan Cup? I'm there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm there for that, man. I think Yota's been doing his, you know, he's just been there. It's nothing, you know, spectacular, but he's got that. I don't know, there's something about him that just reminds me of Shinsuke a little bit. The aura, yeah, do you know what I mean? So if we're talking about presenting new stars and building new stars, then I think Yota Tsuji's the way to go.
No, I definitely agree. Hiroki Goto, amazing wrestler. He is a three-time New Japan Cup winner. Like I just said, he's never been able to win the big one. And yeah, it's what better person than Goto to lose in the final? I mean, yeah, I'm a Gene Blaster. I know all as a Gene offer, but me, I'm a Gene Blaster. Hey, yo, listen, I'm all for this. Like we've been bashing on the
number one.
Like we've been banging on about for the not even, even just on indie we're meant to be adults, man. we're meant to be adults. But God. Guys, listen, I promise I'm going to start being... I'm going to allow all this cool stuff because I want to get my point across. Like we've been banging on about for the past how long, whether it be on the main podcast, whether it be Undertaker's, whether it be NK Knowledge talking about Nicholas Corner. Now is the time to fully invest in the young stuff. Like we said, New Japan have got to prepare for building of the new stars and for the current stars. We've seen the exit of the Will Ospreys. We've seen the exit of the Ospreys. We've seen the exit. We've seen exits of even people like Juice Robinson, the people that should be coming up. We've seen the exit, and in that time, we've not been able to kind of see any push of any certain people. Someone like a Gabe Kidd should have been pushed at a forefront. He's even just re-signed now. So maybe now is the time to even push the button. You put the rocket on his back and shoot him to the moon. David Finney, someone that, you know, they've been building, is currently injured at the moment. But even then, not to say that it's been failing, but a lot of people have just been kind of like hot and cold about him. Like I said on the main podcast, I feel like the problem is that we have all these belts that just feel like they don't matter. We had the UK US title belt. It generally just felt like outside of one or two people holding it, it didn't necessarily mean anything. We have the NEVER open weight title that was meant to be like the BMF belt. That belt doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The only belt that seems to have been mattering within New Japan was the world title. So now it's time to have clear-cut divisions, clear-cut and push for stories for people to want these belts. Not it just be a thing of, you know what, I can't go for the world heavyweight title, so I'm just gonna stay at this place and just try and succumb for this belt. No. My main mission is I want to reignite this division, so I want the belt because I'm gonna be the one to take it. For me, I've always been a proponent of someone trying to make a belt seem more important than the world heavyweight title. I know I bring up this guy all the time when it comes to this kind of conversation, Jay Lethal, when he was a television champion. Jay Lethal made the television title feel like a world title. It was even more important than the world title.
You can go back to even TNA, because like at one point, the X Division Championship was main event in pay-per-views because of how Christopher Daniels propelled and made the X Division title look more important. So I completely agree.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, now is the time. Like, listen, they just need to go all in on Yota Tsuji, give him the New Japan Cup. But the question is he going to beat Naito for the belt?
No.
If he does win the New Japan Cup?
No.
Is he going to beat Naito, did you say?
Yeah.
No. Because, you see, with New Japan, yeah, I feel like they're always doing this one step forward, three steps back.
Yeah.
And he'll do this, and we'll be like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, can't wait to see what he does against Naito. And then the inevitable happens, and we're just kind of disappointed again. I would love him to, but I just don't see it being a possibility right now. Unless New Japan is going to commit to this new era of New Japan and actually rely on these new stars that they're trying to build up.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, don't we have like Mox Naito before we get to that match?
I think it might be after.
Okay.
I think it might be after. Wait, let me just double check, because it's going to be at Sakura Genesis.
Because the player could be mad.
Yeah, it's before.
Okay.
So yeah, sorry, Gene Blasters. I can't lie. even though we've won, at what cost? Because we're still losing.
Yeah.
But then again, I want Naito to lose the belt to Moxley. I'm totally fine with Moxley winning the belt, and then maybe dropping the belt at, I don't know, maybe a Forbidden Door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe a Forbidden Door. Maybe Shota Umino finally, you know, gets to finish off his story, and you know, beat his daddy. You know. What's your, oh god, man, we're meant to be adults, man. We're meant to be adults. I don't know what's going on. That's not even a pause.
Nah,
that's not even a pause.
Hey, but yeah, speaking of, obviously, we're mentioning new stars, and you mentioned it as well. Gabe has re-signed. What's your opinions on that? Do you feel like this is New Japan? Well, obviously, I feel like they must have come to some sort of agreement, and money obviously has a big factor into that as well. Because I feel like Gabe is in a position where he could explore his options. He's very, very good in the ring. And we mentioned Aura. I think Gabe has Aura, personally. Like, in New Japan, I'm not saying this like in wrestling, just in New Japan, he gives me like Stone Cold vibes, which I really appreciate. But do you think this is like the start for New Japan to kind of kick on with committing to like new talent and stuff?
Do you want to say anything, Allah?
In terms of committing to him, I think it's definitely the start. I think we'll definitely see him pick up a few singles titles and whatnot.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for him, man. I didn't really see it as a thing of him really going anywhere else at this current moment in time. I feel like New Japan's probably the best place for him. And yeah, like I said, there's singles titles to be won, man. So
yeah, he's got a lot to do in New Japan, man. I feel like he's barely scratched the surface.
We're just scratching the surface, fam.
Yeah.
A madman, bruv.
with Gabe now re-signing, and of course, like, it seems like New Japan might be on this new run of trying to course correct. I mean, it doesn't seem like it as things are going on, but let's say this whole year since signing, how would you book Gabe? Not even necessarily just as part of Bullet Club, but what are the feuds you put him in? Are there any particular titles you'd put him in? Like title pictures you put him in? I mean, for me, if there's any title I would put on him right now as a singles belt, it's the Never Open Weight title.
Oh.
I'd put the Never Open Weight title. Like we said, and the Never Open Weight title used to be the BMF belt, the baddest motherfucker belt. This was the belt where it was like, it doesn't matter what weight class you're in, if you think you're bad, I'm badder. And he should really, honestly, I feel like he needs to make it the BMF belt, the baddest madman, the baddest madman fighting. Like, genuinely, like Gabe has no regards for anything. He literally just wants to show people that, listen, when it comes to pure wrestle, when it comes to strong style, when it comes to wrestling, I am better than you, and nobody's gonna out madman me.
And I'm really like, tapped up.
Yeah, like I'm a mad, like, bro. We've grown up in ends. Like, we've heard certain man like say shit like, "Yo, I'm a madman," you know. And you know them man when they say that I'm a madman, you know. That's not the type of people that you. That's the type of people you cross the road for.
It's true. No, it's actually so true.
Those are the man that you cross. Like when you see them man, like you cross the road. And you're lucky that if you're at least cool with them, or you've got an older cousin that knows them, that's cool. Because you know that they could possibly back you in as any bullshit, you know what I mean? But yeah, like for me, I'd definitely put Gabe in the running of, this is someone who I would give the Never Open Weight belt, let him go around the country and slap slap niggas up.
Yeah.
Slap niggas up. That's the starting point. I feel like that is a good way to kind of propel him and also bring legitimacy back to that belt. Mm-hmm. Because some of the people that I see holding that belt in my head, I'm thinking, I can't lie to you. I just don't, like, it just doesn't, like, I'm like, when I think of the Never Open Weight belt, I think of people like Shibata, I think of Nagata, I think of Tenzan, Tony Nakabe. I think of people that are just really to just... Headbanger. Like, I don't get that from a lot of these wrestlers, but with Gabe is someone that I could genuinely see, like, boy, he's causing a ruckus, and that is a starting point. Once he's able to bring legitimacy back to that belt, then you maybe move him back into the tag team division, or move him into a global division. Like, then a year, 2 years time, put him in that world heavyweight division.
Straight, put him
in that world heavyweight division. Even if he loses his first attempt at trying to win the belt, at least we know that we know that he's been on a journey. He's held the open weight belt. He's held the global belt. He's had a good running in the New Japan Cup. He's had a good running in the G1 Climax.
I want to make a wild claim here now. I'm saying it on this podcast. I feel like he's the next leader of the Bullet Club.
That's not too wild.
Within the next 3 years, I think he'll be next. Because I feel like inevitably Finley's gonna leave. It's that Bullet Club leader XP in it. Like, you become leader, you start cooking, you get the shine on you, and then within like 3 years of you being a leader, you clock out. I think his destination is probably going to be AEW. And then there has to be someone to take over, because I don't think the Bullet Club's ever ending. But I will say that I think Gabe can be the guy to make the Bullet Club legitimate again. So everything you've been saying about kicking people out and making recruitments here and destroying factions here, Gabe is that guy. You think he's gonna have a faction over there doing nonsense? He'd be the guy to say, hey, listen, you man, dead food in a bit.
It is. I hear it, but the thing is, yeah, like I like that. Like, do you know, the thing I love about Gabe's character is the fact that you can, it's so familiar. We know man like that. And from my experience with man like that, those are not man that they're not all up there in terms of like, in terms of like
the decision making is
like Gabe's character, yeah, is one of them man, yeah. You roll to a party with man, you step up, like man is willing to get the strap out for no reason. That's how I see Gabe. Like, Gabe is that man where at the shops, man is waiting for someone to barge him because he's itching to bring out the swami. He's itching to bring out the swami. You know them ones. Whereas with David Finley, I look at David Finley as more of like, okay, cool. He's coming on Baz, but at the same time, he's very much like, yo, like, stay calm, like. Yeah, he's calculated. You know what I mean? Like, he's not this so ambitious person that's just like fucking everything up. And like, for him, his authority is just, listen, you man, just when I say go, you man go. Yeah. Like, bro, there was this press conference, like maybe like a month or two ago, where he told Gabe to shut the fuck up.
Oh yeah,
told Gabe to shut the fuck up. And Gabe was fuming, but what could Gabe do? What can Gabe do? Do you know what I mean? Man had to stay bim. Do you know what I mean? So don't get me wrong. I do see like when people say that Gabe should be the leader, but at the same breath, when you're such a hothead, your decision making isn't as like finite as someone who is a bit more quiet, who's a bit more authoritative. Like, Gabe isn't authoritative. Man just wants to scrap. You know that man that literally just, yo, let's link up in the cage and let's fight. And that's that. Imagine to show you bravado, and the thing is with bravado, there's a lot of bravado, but there's not that much brains there. Not necessarily gay, but just in regards to that character. And we've seen man in ends like that. I'm a madman, but these are the same man that don't go to school. This is it. The same man that don't go to school. But the David Finleys, these are the man that they're on job. They finish school. These are the man. They even watch anime. They even watch Jujutsu Kaisen, and them man there. There's layers to them. But when you're just a madman, it's long. You know what I mean? So, like, don't get me wrong. I feel like as time goes on, depending on where they tell the story with Gabe's character,
yeah.
Because it could be a thing where it's like, as time going on, he's a madman, but then he's starting to clock certain things.
Yeah, that's so what I mean, yeah.
He's dialing back the madman character a little bit. Just to kind of like see clearly, because bro, there's only so much you can do when all you do is see red. That's Gabe. Gabe, all he does is see red. And if your vision is red, I'm so sorry, you're in hell. You're in hell, do you know what I mean?
Hey, shout out to Gabe, man.
Big up Gabe, man. That's my bro, man.
What guy?
Do you know what I mean? But New Japan Cup. As a whole, I mean, in regards to what you guys have seen from the tournament so far, were there any matches that stood out to you, or any moments that stood out to you, or is there any particular wrestlers where you're just like, you know what, I feel like this is someone that, you know, going forward, I've got my eye on, or the company should invest some stock into?
I can't lie. See your guy, he's small, convincing me.
Bah!
Yeah,
small.
Scapegoaters, we up. Yeah, we up. Bro, small. He was convincing me still, and I was like,
okay. Scapegoaters, we up. You feel me?
small. Do you know what it is, yeah? It's I'm still not fully convinced, but I think that's just more because of how tiny he is. Like, it's hard for me to look at him as like a legitimate, like, bad person. And I still see Jungle Boy. Like, I'm still trying to look past Jungle Boy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But small, I was convinced. So it'll be interesting to see what he does after this.
Yeah.
And what they do with him moving forward. Is he going to stay in New Japan full time now? Like,
because
he ripped up his AEW contract, isn't it?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I mean, apparently, according to Rumbles and from what I've seen people say online, they believe that he's probably going to return to AEW Forbidden Door, possibly. And they feel maybe at some point he's going to join the Elite.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's from what I've heard, not necessarily like anything like concrete or anything.
I think you should stay in Japan.
Yeah.
But yeah. What do I know?
I mean, I see why he joined the Elite, but at the same time, I'm very much of the, I don't know, man. But I have been liking his promos about like him, like kind of like letting people know, like, it's a bit understated, like, without me, like, a lot of the shit that you guys have seen in wrestling would not have happened. Like, and... Bro, talk your shit, man. Don't let these people gas you, man, or understate or, you know, underestimate the stuff. Like, bro, without the real glass. Bro, this guy's the needle mover. He's the real tribal chief. Let's be real. He's the real tribal chief. So
I hear it.
You know.
But yeah.
But on, yeah, man.
On the other side of Japan, though. Real graps.
Hey, listen. Are we talking about DDT?
Yes.
Hey, Takeshita Yuma.
Fam.
Who is that guy? Because he came in like some joke, man. With the
bike. He's not a joke, man. He's not a joke. It's only because he's in DDT. That's why he done that.
Bro, I thought it was a joke, man.
I know Ola's going to go and create a wrestler like him now.
Let Indy take us finish. Let us finish.
Well, if it was a black wrestler, Ola would be just bim quiet.
Which one is that?
This guy's a dickhead.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Great.
Hey, rotten dickhead. Nah, bro.
Fam.
Great match.
Absolutely. This match was epic.
Banga Bendizio.
Bendizio. Insane, like it's actually unreal how good he is.
Yeah, bro, it's like Takeshita is a super athlete. The way he runs the ropes,
bro,
and the whole ring is shaking,
bro,
doesn't make any sense to me. And like, even bro, it's even like at the beginning of the match. You know, he's been Irish whipped. And you know he does that spot where he'll duck underneath the clothesline, he'll duck underneath the elbow, and he will jump and do that flying clothesline. I'm just like,
yeah.
Like, generally, I feel like if there's any wrestler that anybody should emulate, it's Takeshita. For me, Takeshita is the perfect wrestler.
Oh, yeah, bro. 100%.
Takeshita is the perfect wrestler.
100%. I agree.
He is a super athlete.
I'd agree.
Super athlete.
I'd say in his prime, I'd say it's probably Randy Orton for me.
Yeah.
But I'd say now, in terms of like, he has a balance of everything: athleticism, technicality, strength, speed.
He's even good looking as well. That bro, this guy's greedy. Bro, greedy.
Greedy.
Bro, greedy. You know, in life they say pick your struggle. This guy said, I'm not taking any. I'm not taking any. You guys can have the struggle. you know in Japan though, we push like Kaito came here recently just on a photo shoot for a magazine.
Yeah.
And it's like, brother, wrestlers in America, unless you're like super peng or like you're a fashionista or fashionable, you're not doing that.
But
in Japan, literally that's just their bag.
Yeah.
They know how to dress, they can wrestle. I'm sure Takeshita can even sing. I'm sure Takeshita can even sing.
Nah, it's actually mad.
That match was actually crazy, man.
So absolutely good, man.
Crazy. I'm just happy that, especially with like the notoriety that Takeshita has, especially like in the Western world, there'll be a lot of people that are watching Yuma Yogi for the first time. And they're able to see exactly how good this guy is. And this guy has been putting on bangers for God knows how many years. He's a former Triple Crown champion, former tag champion. Like that guy can cook, do you know what I mean? But there's gonna be a lot of people that don't have access, that have never had access to watching him. But because of someone of the likes of Takeshita wrestling him, a lot of people are like, oh, I've never heard of this guy before. For Takeshita to go back to Japan to wrestle him, and this guy's a wrestler that wrestles in all Japan. Oh, this match must be an important match. It was co-main event, brother. They fucking delivered. And bro, do you know what even makes it worse? Like, not even that makes it worse. Like, something I took away from the match was that, bro, Takeshita could use anything as a finisher, and I'll be sold.
Bro, it's so believable.
Bro, that spinning Falcon Arrow looked fucking deadly.
Yeah.
Absolutely deadly. Like, I was mind blown. Like, I saw it, I was thinking, if this is the finish, I don't care.
Yeah,
because these men have been going at it, and bro, yeah, man.
Do you know what annoys me about him as well? Yeah, he's so calm before he wrestles. Like, you don't see no stress, no anger,
doesn't break a sweat.
Damn, just calm. Doesn't
break a sweat. Do you know what's killing me throughout the whole match though? It was that lady that kept screaming throughout the whole match. The one that Yuma kept going back and forth with. I was thinking, this girl, she's just trying to hijack the show.
She's just trying to hijack the show. trying to hijack the show.
But, hey, it was a good time, man. Genuinely, like, guys, please, go and watch this match.
Definitely.
Go and watch this match. Generally, if you're a Takeshita fan or you're just looking to watch, like, just watch the whole show. But this match solely was incredible.
I have a question. Incredible. When do you put a belt on this guy, and what belt do you put on this guy?
Takeshita, are you talking in independence or?
It depends. It depends on Tony Khan, but let's just say Tony Khan's giving him free reign to win a belt anywhere, right? Or he has the option to win a belt anywhere. But what belt does he win, and who does he face?
Okay, we're gonna get onto this show. I would have him beat Calvin Tankman for the DPW Championship.
I hear it. I hear it.
That match was slack, though.
I would have him defeat Calvin Tankman for the and also, I can't lie, I would even have him come to the UK and defeat Kid Lykos for the Progress Challenge.
I got you.
I think I was gonna do my guy Mark Oku like that. Big up Kid Lykos. I love Kid Lykos. I love Kid Lykos, man. He's amazing. But I would let Kid Lykos have a lengthy reign, and then have Takeshita come and defeat him. And have him be a champion in the UK and a champion in America as well. In
DPW. He should hold multiple belts.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We are too good. A special place. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
We are. I just Tony Khan, man. That's a different story for
the. Do you know what it is? Okay, this isn't even about AEW. This is we're not allowed to talk about AEW.
Yeah, WWE. Cool.
But I think what the actual sole problem with AEW is that at the moment it's so top heavy now that there probably were wrestlers that we in our minds could imagine could potentially win a world title, but we know how Tony Khan is. He's very formulaic. He likes to have certain wrestlers. Like, Tony Khan probably already has his next 10 champions already in line. And even people he hasn't signed, he probably has them like an asterisk near their name just in case they do sign, so he can slot them into that place. But I just feel like generally he just needs to be a bit ballsy with his booking. Like, it's not everything that needs to be like done off the back of, you know, ticket sales or what draws or whatnot. Like, bro, you're a wrestling fan at the end of the day. Like, just book something that you know that are going to have people talking and people, fans are going to want to enjoy. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about the business side of things because I know that's a very, 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 very important factor in regards to wrestling booking and wrestling business. But at the same time, not everybody cares about that. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not every opinion or not every wrestling ideal has to come off the back of ticket sales and, you know, what who would draw the most amount in this town and that town. Bro, yeah. Sometimes just go off vibes and the matches are going to bang. Sometimes the matches are going to bang and we know the programs are going to be good, so we can just go based off that as opposed to, you know what, this person doesn't draw tickets or this person doesn't draw online. Or, like, who gives a fuck, man?
Here.
I mean, but yeah, enough AW. Let's even quickly go to DPW. They had a live show. I can't lie to you, this is probably one of the better DPW shows I've seen in a while.
Good one.
I can't lie to you. Top to bottom, it was a very, 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 very good show. I was very surprised that what's his name? Calvin Tankman was a main event. The world title was a main event in, but I can't complain. The main event match was good anyways.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah.
Mandem, I told you about BK Westbrook, man.
Oh yeah, he's a fucking star. Yeah, he's gonna be a fucking star.
My scout. Yeah, I need my scout points for that one. There, he listen.
Gem's gonna create him on 2K.
100%.
And Gem's 2K25 call. I mean, Gem's 2K25 attire is going to be based off him.
100%. If you even see me this year with one,
I'm mind your business. Man's going to shout out Dean ASAP. Big up Dean.
I was just going to say, Dean.
Big up Dean, man.
BK Westbrook is the first BK Westbrook, but I told you, like I said the last time we spoke about it, the shades of Adam Cole are so strong. Like, I see it every time he wrestles, just an appearance, the way he moves, like the way he transitions, everything. But I really like the message that Mustafa Ali did after the match. Because it was like he was still in character, but he was also speaking from chest. Like, it was like, I believe in you so much that the next time we face off in this ring, I need you to actually step up again, like a level higher, because that wasn't it. But it wasn't like he was cooking him.
Yeah.
But it was more of like, you're going to be something. Say that again.
I know you can do more.
Yeah. And I was so happy he did that, because it's like, Westbrook is just it, like, for me, like DPW future world champion, in my opinion. So I was really happy about that. But The standout match for me was the tag team titles. Fam.
That was a good match.
Motor City Machine Guns, yeah. It's like they're not aging.
Yeah, it's like they get better with every match.
Fam.
It's peak, fam. Nah, for real, guys, it's peak.
But
genuinely, they might be my favorite tag team of all time.
I love the
Hardys.
You know, hear it.
The Dudleys were amazing, but you see the guns, yeah. You see the Morrissey machine guns, what they've been doing and how long they've been doing it for. It's just nuts.
I would even say, for me, like, this is just me in it, like, in terms of that fast paced tag team wrestling, I wouldn't say they revolutionized it or brought it to the table. I feel like the first time I really saw that was with Paul London and Brian Kendrick. But I would say that in, like, after that, it kind of died down because, you know, they disbanded and disappeared and whatever. But then Motor City Machine Guns kind of took that style of tag team wrestling on their back. And then we saw the Young Bucks, and then we saw Eddie and what's his name? The Wolves, I forgot their name.
Oh, David Richards.
Yeah. So all of these lot come through, and it just kind of, that's like my style of tag team wrestling. I appreciate it, innit? But I think Dell is right with his prediction saying that Mike Bailey might be the best wrestler of 2024.
Because
that
man is unreal.
Yeah,
boys.
He's unreal, bro. Even Jake Something, bro. Jake Something is someone that I've been saying for the past year or so that, bro, whatever come, like, I'm surprised like an AW haven't snagged him. Because really and truly, Jake Something is who they think Wardlow is.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Wardlow's nothing. Wardlow's nothing. No, I like Wardlow, though. I do like Wardlow. But would you rather go to Gucci or would you rather go to Wish? Would you rather go to Gucci or would you rather go to Timu? And I can't lie to you, Jake something. You gotta be starting something. To try to get over. Hey, Jake something is the truth, man. Bro, Jake something, Matt Bailey, bro, absolute bro, truth.
He was cooking.
I mean, the one thing I love about independent wrestling, man, is the fact we can get like random tag teams that know each other so well, and the synergy will always be there. And it's not like you'll never ever look at it like a can they coexist?
Mm.
Like if Jake something and Matt Bailey were in like a WWE or AEW, they would be on like two opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of like where they would be in terms of booking. And then if they now randomly put them together, it would be like, oh, can they coexist? Can this team make it together? But in the independent wrestling, somewhere like a DPW, they are looked at as these are two amazing units by themselves that are coming together to do something amazing. And they ended up winning the World Tag Team titles. So, listen.
Right, cool as well, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. There was another match. Well, let's go through the other matches as well. The six-man tag match had Team Filthy versus Violence Forever and the Bronco Zone. It was a decent match.
Decent
fun match. Team Filthy are great as ever. Violence Forever is great. LeBron is great. This next match, I can't lie to you. Not that I didn't care for it, but as time went on, I said, you know what? I should have known better. Lady Frost versus Vert Vixen. This match was sub 10 minutes. I can't lie. This match was fucking fun as hell.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. Bro, I'm a big Lady Frost fan.
I'm cold.
You feel me? I'm cold. Vert Vixen is good as well. I enjoyed it. The thing is, I didn't expect much from the match. But I got a lot out of it. And for me, I'm very much like, I don't know why Tony Khan hasn't signed this woman yet. She's always appearing on Ring of Honor.
Oh, just if you get it, man.
This is someone that should have been signed time ago. The notion is that she's probably too old for WWE, which I think is bullshit. I think she's in her 30s.
Oh, wow.
Do you think WWE is still in that? Okay, we won't talk about them, actually.
Yeah. We can quickly ask you.
Yeah. Do you think WWE is still in that mindset of like, you're too old? Because it's Triple H now, isn't it? Like, Triple H is kind of running that whole recruitment thing. I feel like if it's the right person, they'll do it.
Yeah, I think yes or no. If it's the right person, I think depending on the person, they'll shift the goalpost, like Ola said. I think it's just depending on who you are and what they think you will bring to the table.
Yeah.
I feel like with someone like a Lady Frost, don't get me wrong, I feel like Lady Frost is very, 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 very talented. But WWE have this very much like, are they proven mentality? And if you're not going to NXT, if you're not a former WWE talent, as of now, I don't see the means of you actually signing there. Because we very much know WWE are looking to do homegrown, build people from the age of 19, 20, 21, 22, and shoot them to the sky and have them there in the company for 10 plus years. So that way they can build an IP with them, build their star power, be able to build a brand with these people. Whereas it's not like before when Triple H was at the helm of like an NXT, he can bring in a 20-year veteran because he knows, okay, cool, I can bring them in NXT, get them to work here for a few years, and then maybe get them onto the main roster. I think it's just depending on
case by case
who you are. It's case by case. Yeah.
Okay.
We spoke about Mustafa Ali versus Beka Westbrook. Let's just quickly touch on Mustafa Ali. Bro, did you see when he came out? And bro, the reaction this man got,
star, bro, mega star,
bro. And it's crazy because sometimes in life, yeah, I'm not happy that he didn't have a great run in WWE, but then at the same time, sometimes I'm not happy that he got, this is what I'm gonna say. I'm not happy he got fired or released from WWE, but I'm happy that he was able to leave to be able to get to a point where people are able to appreciate him. And he's able to get the love that he should have been getting from time ago. Because when people are screaming Free Ali, don't get wrong, as much as I clown on people when they're doing the whole Free Ali thing, I don't look at it from a place of, I wanted Ali to fail. I love Ali. I just wanted Ali to be able to be in a place where it makes sense for him. Then when he now gets the love, it's like, hey, cool. It's deserving. Like, he's been deserving the love, but for some reason, he's just not been showcased in the right way. But now he's kind of taking things in his own hand. This whole In Ali We Trust thing, his vignettes, the matches, bro, quality. Like, he's just his whole presentation. You can tell he's having fun of it again.
Changes the tire, everything. So,
bro, like,
no kick pads. Proper wrestling shoe, you know. And I think he's going to do, like, I think he's going to do a Drew McIntyre. I think he's only going to be on the indies for probably another 2 years, like another year and a half maybe. And I know Triple H is going to call him. Or Tony Khan, but I don't want him to be lost in the shuffle again. I feel like he's too good to be going back to being a background, you know, like an extra. Like, I feel like he's shown that I can be a main event player. Do you know what I mean? And we're only seeing him pop up in a few shows. When this guy, by the end of this year, we're probably going to say he's a contender for best wrestler of the world, in the world, because he's that good and he's putting on bangers after bangers after bangers after bangers. I know he's going to collect hella championships this year. Fam, dude, I hear it, man. Do your thing. Sometimes in life, man, you really need to go backwards to go forwards.
Yeah,
and I don't even see the indies as a step backwards. I just see it as like a new land of opportunity for him.
It's even a step forward, because, bro, something like that, I look at it as this, like, cool, you can make it to the mountaintop, but then when you're looking down from the mountaintop and you're not seeing grass, you're just seeing snow, sleet, you're seeing stone. For you, it's just like, okay, I've made it to the top, but I'm not even necessarily seeing all the things I want to see. Sometimes you actually have to go back down that mountain to be able to smell the roses, to be able to see the greenery, to see the rivers and see the bunnies hopping. For you to then choose, okay, you know what? Maybe this wasn't the right angle of the mountain I should have been on. Now that I've smelt the roses, I've done everything. And maybe I have to go round and climb the mountain from that side to be able to see all the vision I want to see. So, yeah, I feel like more black wrestling fans should never look at it from a point of view of, okay, cool, this person's left WWE, so the world is over. The world has just begun. Because I look at it like, bro, that promo video that Moxley did when he first left WWE, where man just came out of prison.
Cinema.
Like, don't get me wrong, WWE, you're making all the bread. But with the indies being there, there's a ton of money to be made. And even with just the option of AW, wrestlers have now more options to make more money than ever. You know what I mean? So, bro, the world is your oyster, man. The DPW world title freeway, Calvin Tankman, Mason Madden, and Titus Alexander.
It was after this match that I don't get me wrong, I'm a big Tankman fan, but it was after this match I was kind of just like, I wouldn't mind the titles changing hands moving forward.
Okay.
It's not like to say he's terrible or he's had like a bad run or anything like that. It's just I don't know. This is something where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to see another world champion. And this match for me, I didn't really enjoy it too much, but this was the match for me that was like, okay, Tankman, you're good. Appreciate you, my dog. But
I think for me, this is probably my favorite match on the card, possibly.
Really?
But then again, I'm a big triple threat man, anyways.
Yeah.
I like triple threat matches. Nah, niggas. You are so childish, man. You're so fucking childish. I was even a pause, man. What the heck? I can't even record the podcast with my friends in peace. This is all I fucking have.
I said he wants to do 1, 2, 3.
Are you okay? Are you sick? No, man, you're almost my boy, man. What's up with this? Fucking no. Anyways, let me continue as I was rudely interrupted by some childish bullshit. I like triple threat matches. Yeah. So I think for me, I enjoyed this match. I felt like Mason Madden, he showed out a lot. Titus Alexander, for me, he's the future. Given the next 2-3 years, he's going to be in the conversation for one of the best in the world. I feel like they all worked very well together. Mason Madden, for me, he solidified himself as someone that I feel like he can go for the world title at some point.
Yeah.
He's definitely got the chops. He's got the chops to be a single star, you know, more than he showed in WWE, more than he... I feel like he's got the chops to be a single star, and I don't look at him now as just relying on Mansoor. Like, them as a tag team, I think is really, really good. But him as a singles person, I'm like, oh, I didn't see the vision before.
Mm.
But this match allowed me to kind of see, okay, cool. You work very, very well. So,
obviously, I don't want to talk about the E. I'll touch on it very, very quickly. There was a moment where he was in NXT and he hadn't actually made a TV debut yet. And there was a video that got leaked from a show where he was doing this thing where he would sit down in the corner and everyone was cheering. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that video.
I might have, but it's
escaped me. I'll find it and show you guys later. And everyone was saying, oh, he had a great match and stuff. So I had really high hopes for him. And then he never really reached the heights that I thought he would reach. Became a commentator, became Marseille. But now I'm starting to see that charisma. I'm starting to see the match quality. And I can't lie, I think we are going to witness something great with him. I think out of all, like, the WWE releases and stuff, I think he is going to be the dark horse.
Fair enough.
I think he's going to be the dark horse. I think he's the one to watch. Obviously, I don't want to get gassed over one match, but yeah. I think he's the dark
horse. No, I hear you. Brian Keith versus Anthony Henry. Okay, I forget what I said before. This match deserves to be main event.
Yeah.
This match is the same. I can't lie. This match was bonkers.
Brian Keith is really him, man.
I think I get it now.
When you introduced me to...
I'm catching up to you guys. You guys were the original indie takers. I've joined. So I'm catching up now.
No, Brian, when you introduced me to Brian Keith, I wasn't... Remember I said the whole attire for me? I wasn't... Yeah. After this match, I said, I see it. I see the vision. He's amazing. He's actually amazing. Actually, I'm not going to say what I want to say because I don't want to cause conflict between two professional wrestlers. So I'll just say it off camera. But
I'm not going to say it.
He might surpass Mr. Gresh. Yeah. just want to.
I really like Brian Keith now. I still want to see more, but I like him for him.
I do think his AEW signing was a bit random. That's just me. But the fact that he's able to do indies as well, you know, he's going to be in his element for a while until they kind of figure out what they want to do with him. But, that guy is going to put on bangers after bangers after bangers after bangers. And I don't see him losing. Do you think wrestlers should be allowed to enter like the AEW, like the DPW championships?
Why not?
I do agree. I would want that, but then at the same time, I feel like AEW is like so up here.
Mm.
When you've got something that's meant to be like akin to like a national title or like a world title, like. If another company comes with another world title and you guys haven't got some sort of like partnership or anything, then it's going to look like the belt's just like some any belt. But I mean, I'm not against it. Like Shida, there's a company in Japan she works for. Is it Dreamwave? I can't remember. Guys, don't cook me, please. I know you're dumb. Like she's coming with different belts, like different wrestlers will come in with different belts depending on the company.
I'm not
against it. I feel like it would add some sort of credence to him. It will allow for people, like if they have never seen Brian Keith before or have not seen enough of Brian Keith, oh, he's a champion in this promotion, okay, cool, let me find out the promotion, let me go check it out. For me, I'm a big proponent of going to different companies and coming in with a belt.
Yeah.
And defending the belt there, or having people challenge you from other companies to come. Like, I love that. That's my shit. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm not against it. But yeah, this match was great. Anthony Henry, I feel like Anthony Henry doesn't get enough love. I feel like with Anthony Henry, I think because he is part of Workhorseman, and because he is seen on AEW, and a lot of the times when he's on AEW, him and JD Drake are losing. So a lot of people might even look at him like, oh, he might be a bit of a joke man, or he might just be just a perennial loser. But bell to bell, bro, he's great. And the thing is, sometimes, like, I feel like as wrestling fans, we kind of like give certain wrestlers credit, talk about how good someone is and rare, rare, rare. But then it's like, you have to look at their dance partner as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Someone can be great, but then what makes them as great as they are, the people that they tango with. And Anthony Henry is just, he's good, man. He's good. He looks like somebody, he looks like a lot of people's cores from like 2K16, 2K17. But, hey, he's good, man. It's the truth. Bro, if you look on the community creations from, when did Finn Balor become popular? Let's say
2015, 2016.
Even before that. 2013, 2014. A lot when bare people figured out who Finn Balor was, bro, I promise you, everyone's cores look like Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Everyone's cores look like Finn Balor. Then people discover Strong Style. Then all their cores, e.g. Ola.
Everybody became me, fam.
This guy's what are you guys' hopes for DPW in terms of their outreach? Because clearly they're doing something right. We see the likes of Kenny Omega, who recently came out and said that he's a big fan of DPW. He watches DPW. In terms of like where they do their shows, they generally do their shows in North Carolina. They've done one or two shows in New Jersey, Texas, Chicago. Their recent show was in Chicago. They've even partnered up with Gato Move in Japan. So they've done like two shows there. In terms of its outreach, where do you guys want to see DPW? Do you guys want to see it possibly come to London? If so, who do you want them to partner up with? Canada, where in America? Are there any particular wrestlers you guys would love to see in DPW? Because as we've seen with their shows, it's very not close-knit, but we see a lot of their familiar faces. They've got like a particular roster, which I do like about them in terms of indie wrestling. A lot of indie wrestling just seems to be like this variety show of all the best wrestlers around the world coming here, but it's very much got like a core amount of wrestlers that every show you're going to see these people, and if not see these people, you're going to see others. That was a loaded question, sorry guys.
I think I'd like them to just honestly continue doing what they're doing, because if it's not broken, they'll fix it, sort of thing. I feel like they're building a nice product for a big investment. And I hope that somebody that loves professional wrestling or wants to get into the business invests but stays in the background, doesn't get involved. And I think, like, not even like a heart-to-heart moment, but one thing I really appreciate about DPW is the fact that the guys making it and booking it are us. Like, they're guys that played 2K and WWE games and are now living their fantasies, making... And you start to see some of the... 2K tendencies sometimes in the way the shows run and how they do promos and segments and stuff. So in terms of how it runs and where it is, I wouldn't change it as much. If I had a dream place where I'd love them to come, it would be London. And I'm not saying this because we're all on the show or whatever, but I'm saying it because it's facts. I'd love them to link up with Hustle. I think the energy of Hustle and DPW together it'd actually be a
combustion of madness.
It'd be insane, man. Like I said, Hustle is the closest thing to a DPW in the UK, just in terms of environment, how close the fans are to the action, how personal the action is. You know, you don't feel like you're not a part of any match. You feel like you're always involved in a match, which is something I love about Hustle and DPW. So yeah, London for me, and then yeah, Hustle. If not Hustle, then I'd say probably Progress. I wouldn't mind seeing them work in Progress. But one person I would like to see on the show is Michael.
Yeah. Wait, who's that? Michael Oki?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro. No, Michael Jackson.
Is it? Jackson? On Dippy Dog?
One of that guy's a dickhead.
sorry. But,
that's so dumb.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to put Michael Jackson in the thumbnail now. Shamon Pro Wrestling.
This show is too funny, man.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Michael Oak and DPW though. Cook. I'll be there.
Cook.
What about you lot?
Yeah, man. I think I'm the same as you. You pretty much said it all. I don't want them to change too much. And in terms of partnerships, probably one with Arsenal, maybe Progress. To be honest, yeah, you could do Rev Pro as well.
Mm.
There's opportunities for that, man.
They better stay away from GCW, but that's a different story for a different day.
I'm dead. I'm absolutely dead.
Yeah. That's me when it comes to DPW, man. I think it's the same as well with who I'd want to see there. Okay. You know what? Let me say Connor Mills.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. I like that.
that. Yeah, let's get Connor Mills. Let's even get Robbie X.
Ooh, that'd be a shot.
Let's get those guys across and doing stuff in the US or doing stuff in partnership with DPW. But yeah.
No, I'm with that as well. I'll probably say, yeah, I'd love to see DPW in London. Hustle would probably be for me make the most sense. Like DPW, the energy of the venue that they usually use, it reminds me of Hustle. It reminds me of Colour Factory. So, yeah, in terms of UK company, I feel like there's no company that brings you an electric product as much as Hustle. Top to bottom, not necessarily like, don't get me wrong, all these other shows, they're good. But in terms of like something that has you from start to finish, like, oh shit, like what an amazing show. What's with this other guy? I feel like this guy's up to something mischievous. But, bro, this is a mischievous guy, fam. Crook. But,
I saw a notification in it. That's.
Yeah. We getting nodding. Getting noddy, professor. Stupid guy. Is it? I said no more.
Bleep that.
Dickhead, I'm not bleeping shit. Anyways, if there's any wrestlers I would want to see, you guys have mentioned British wrestlers, and I agree with all of them. Let me say some wrestlers outside of the UK. I'd love to see Mystico. I'd love to see Mystico. Takeshita, I'd love to see Takeshita and DPW.
He's been in DPW, hasn't he?
I think he has.
Yeah, but more on a consistent basis.
Yeah, man. Beat Calvin Tankman, I can't lie. Every world champion in DPW has been black. So, it's now time for Japan. It's time. Just once.
Look at it.
All of his is CWH. because all his world champions have been Japanese. Don't mind him, stupid boy. I would like to see Mystico there.
Yuki Ueno.
Yuki Ueno would be good. Who else? Nakajima would be cold. Keno would be good. Timothy Thatcher.
How much Yamashita been on there?
I don't think Yamashita has been. Actually, she might have. I can't remember. I would like to see a Serena Deeb there. I would like to see a Serena Deeb there. I would like to see a CEO, Money. I'd like to see Mercedes Money there.
I don't know if they got the money for that, but
yeah, it's true. But she's in it for the love of the game. If you're making the amount of millions you're making at AEW,
you shouldn't care.
You'll wrestle there for free, fam.
true, man.
I'd like to see Chris Hero there.
Yeah. Is he
still about, isn't he? I thought he's at the PC. Was
Chris
that
Hero?
Done? Yeah.
Chris Hero is signed to AEW.
Is it?
That guy works for AEW. Yeah. And he's a producer at West Coast Pro Wrestling as well.
He's signed to where?
He's part of AEW.
Look at me thinking he was still there. I'm a joke, man.
He's a producer. He had a good match with Timothy Thatcher last year as well.
Yeah, right? Streets need him back, man. Yeah, man. That was my guy.
Yeah, man. But yeah, listen.
Not that Cassius Ohno business.
There's tons of wrestlers I feel like if they were to go DPW, they would light up the place, man, and the crowd would love them. So I think it's just depending on, you know, who the men are trying to book there. So, yeah. Yeah. Before we end, Jem, any words for MLW?
I'm not going to talk about that match. Let's talk about the Wrestler Revolver, man.
Oh, I don't have much to say about that, shall I be real?
Do you not?
I've got quite a bit to say. It was a decent show.
It was a decent show.
The production is just a bit...
Microphone, eh?
Camera, about microphone. The camera was awful.
Moving like Ola's webcam, fam. Is it?
One thing I will say is Ace Austin.
That match with Rich Swann?
Seeing him by himself made me want to see a single song. I like ABC, I hear it, but Ace Austin is so cold. And then another match that stood out to me was that scramble match. Hellerman. I just remember Myron Reed. Was it the international
championship? Oh, yeah, for the PWR remix title.
Yeah, that one there.
Yeah.
Myron Reed was the star of the show for me. And it came back to the conversation we had about him a couple of weeks ago. Like, what does he have to do? I still don't know. I watched the match and I was like, yeah, you're cooking, but he's just good, isn't it? Like, he's so good, but it's just like, I don't know.
I figured it out. What we need to do with Myron Reed to get this guy to the next level.
I'm leaning forward. Go on.
Do you know what the problem is?
Hmm.
It's matches like this.
What, the mixed,
yes,
multi-man business, yes, affairs?
We need to stop this is what we need to start doing, yeah? We need to start looking at some of these wrestlers like commodities. You can't just be putting them in any matches. It doesn't make sense. Granted, Myron Reed is someone who's a reliable person. You put him in whatever match and he'll show out. That's cool. But he's been doing that. Now is the time to be focusing. Okay, cool. What are the matches that are going to now move you forward and put you in the eyes of people that need to see you? Because this seems to be the issue. Myron Reed is wrestling up and down, wrestling everywhere. It's quality control. That's the problem. We need to be able to put Myron Reed in matches that matter at the right time against the right people. Not just any scramble match, not just any indie wingy booking. Doesn't make sense.
That's not to cut you off. Small reminds me of AR Fox, you know.
Yeah.
Talented, but there's no quality control to their matches.
Yeah.
Just wrestling anywhere, everywhere, up and down. But
and the problem is, and the thing is, on the other end, some people might say, "Oh, but look at a Mike Bailey." But no, Mike Bailey afforded himself Mike Bailey's difference in the sense that, okay, cool. Mike Bailey was able to work himself up and wrestle, and wrestle the right people. Mike Bailey, okay, I say it like this. Mike Bailey wrestled a lot of quality, has a lot of quantity within his matches, but within those quantity, he's still facing quality of opponents. So even if he is going to a random place in Norwich with 30 people, it doesn't matter, because 2 days later, he's going to be wrestling amongst 1,000 people against a Will Ospreay, or against a Josh Alexander, or against a Rich Swann.
Yeah.
So it's like we can't compare the two, because even someone like a Will Ospreay will main event a Wrestle Kingdom, but then the next day he will now be in Molly's wrestling in front of 5 people. Do you know what I mean? but the quality is still there. So with someone like Amaya Reed, now is the time to be saying, now is the time to be bougie and not be just wrestling anyone. Now is the time to be like, you know what? I need to be able to put myself in front of the right people and be wrestling the right people.
Do you know what elevated?
That's not to say that people are shit or people should look at it in a way like, oh, he's being bougie.
Yeah.
A little bit. But at the same time, this is what needs to be done. Because if you're now just going to any wrestling company and just doing scramble matches against, well, not like these people are jabronis, but you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not everyone you should be wrestling. Now is the time to be putting yourself in the right places. So then when you now get to a point where you're now the talk of the town and you're now in the conversation of some of the best wrestlers in the world, then when people are now focusing on you and now seeking out your matches, then you can now be going to wrestle all these Tom, Dick and Harrys. That's what Mike Bailey did. Mike Bailey was banned from America for God knows how long. Mike Bailey went back to America, was putting on bangers. Then he said, you know what? I'm going to wrestle anybody. Anyone that books me, whether it's 20 people there, whether there's 20,000 people there, I will wrestle. But with each match, he was wrestling the right people and the quality was there for those matches. So then even if I'm saying to someone, Mike Bailey's one of the best wrestlers of the year, you can go and watch a match of Mike Bailey, whether he's wrestling 10 people or whether he's wrestling 20,000 people. That should be the aim.
Yeah. It was even that run that he had in New Japan last year as well, that little run. That's where I was like, okay, this guy's legit.
In the best of Super Juniors, yeah.
Yeah, so even if Myron goes there, and I don't know why he hasn't been to Japan. Maybe he has, or maybe it's just not his portion. We don't know what he wants for himself, innit? But yeah, sometimes you got to leave for a bit, innit? And I feel like a Japan run, I'm not saying necessarily New Japan, but anywhere, would help go up against some quality. As you said, the quality of opponent is important here. And then come back to America and start to really handpick his own opponents. Like if they say, oh, you're going up against this person. As you said, it may sound bougie, but you got to, yeah, nah, sorry. Right,
I'm going to reach out to Myron Reed. We need to have a conversation with our brother.
Yeah, we do.
We need to have a conversation with our brother. Because sometimes with a lot of these wrestlers, and this is one thing I love about the indie takers, is that we're able to give these wrestlers their flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just intake, wrestling as a whole. We're able to give these wrestlers their flowers. So if we're able to sit down with Myron Reed and have a conversation with him and let him know that, bro, we think you're amazing. Do you know how amazing you are?
Yeah. But yeah, like if he's watching this, I don't want him to think that we're talking down on him or saying anything bad. We think you're
one of the talented. Best in the world.
Yeah, super talented.
We think you're one of the best in the world. And with being one of the best in the world, your booking should reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
And your pocket should reflect that too. Generally. Like, I don't know how much he's getting paid. I'm not going to guess. It's none of my business. But at the same time, based on the promotions that you're being booked for, we believe you deserve more.
Yes, definitely.
Generally. This is how I see things, yeah? I love Myron Reed so much, I don't want to talk about him because I feel like he should be in AEW.
Facts. We said this.
For me, the aim of this podcast is for me to talk about people I don't want to talk about because they're so good that they'll fuck off to AEW. And then people can complain about them there. People can complain about them there. I love Myron Reed so much that I don't want to talk about you, bro. So we need to have a conversation with you so that way, in a year's time, we don't have to fucking talk about you. Because by then, Tony Khan would have open his heart and open his checkbook and said, listen, my nigga. No, he wouldn't have said my nigga, but he wouldn't say my nigga, but he would say, take the checkbook. He's it. Hey, man, I'm trying, man.
But yeah.
If he says, hey, my nigga, listen, that's a lawsuit and you're just getting bread. See, either way, you win.
The other match that I wasn't really too happy with was the tag team match, Lince Dorado.
Oh, versus GYV.
Yeah. I thought I was expecting more from the names I saw, but yeah. It didn't really live up to the expectation. But yeah, it was a decent show. Nothing else for me to really talk about. I didn't care about anything else.
I enjoyed the back card during the match. Oh. I can't lie. Pool water was cooking. And do you know, it's in my head, I'm thinking, if pool water can do it, anyone can wrestle. Generally, that's how I see it. Wrestling is not easy, but I feel like we're now in a era now where, really and truly, if anyone puts their mind to it, any seller puts their mind to it, they can genuinely go to a wrestling show and put on a decent match.
First.
And I feel like that's the beauty of having outsiders come into a wrestle, because they have so much respect for it that they're willing to actually learn the craft of it and put their body through what they enjoy so that people can, so for them to love it even more. Do you know what I mean? So that's my main takeaway for that match. Like, it was nothing special, but it's a gimmick match. Yeah. And yeah, I don't really care for the rest of the show, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it was just there, innit?
Yeah. Like, I've enjoyed previous, like, Wrestling Revolver shows, but this one was very just, yeah, I don't, just run of the mill. Yeah. But before we end, any MLW comments? I don't know some MLW shows out there.
No, Hey, man, I don't know what's... Since... It's sad, yeah. It's like... I used to be such a big believer in MLW. Like, I used to love the product. Dell knows. Like, I used to talk about MLW every week, watch it every week. Just recently, it's just not... I'm not been moved. The roster doesn't really move me as much. Matt Riddle's come back and... being Matt, I mean, he's not bad. He's not a bad wrestler at all, but it's just like, we need to move past that era. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're taking steps backwards. I'm seeing that faction. Oh, I forgot their name now.
Oh, the one with Raven.
No, the other one. The Samoan one. The Samoan looking one.
Oh, Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah. I don't know, man. MLW is just all over the place right now. It's not, and it hasn't got any stars that are bringing more eyes to the table. The stories that they're telling are not convincing enough. I don't care for them anymore. I fell asleep towards the end. I just didn't care. I watched it when I woke up, but I genuinely didn't care. Like, I was so excited. I said, "Oh yeah, MLW live on YouTube, bro!" Like, I want to, you know what I mean? Back like the old days. Didn't care, bro. Didn't care. So there's a lot to do to get MLW back in to where it used to be, but we'll see what happens in 2024, I guess. They got some big shows coming up. I'm just keeping an eye on DPW, and one show I really want to start watching is HOG.
Ash Glory. They got some decent stuff.
Yeah, I want to start watching them. But yeah, man, this week for wrestling was good, I think. I think there was some really, really standout like matches. Got introduced to a couple new people as well. So yeah, hopefully the more of the same next week.
Yeah, this podcast was brought to you by Rafe Drinks. Rafe is the most affordable, best tasting gaming supplement that will hit you with the biggest energy and focus boost of any product in the market. So if you guys want to, you know, get your Rafe, make sure you guys use the code WrestleThings10. They got plenty of flavors. And yeah, do you guys have any match recommendations for these this week? Shit, you should have one on the top of my head, but I don't have one.
I don't have match recommendation, but I did watch some Jun Kazai over the weekend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go on, tell us more.
Who did I watch? I can't remember the match exactly. That's all right. All right, cool. Give up getting the match because these man ruined it, innit? Yeah. Tell your match.
Wow, we're really starving.
I watched over the weekend.
So tell us the match then.
I don't remember what the match was.
this guy's a dumbass.
It was decent.
So how do you know?
Dumbass fan.
I don't have one match. I have a trilogy because Yeah, sorry, because I went back on. Yeah, because I'm working on a little project. Yeah, 2K. Yeah. Punk and Joe, Ring of Honor trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
To watch that. It's on YouTube, the whole 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Wait, hold on. What's wrong with Jun Kazai?
Nobody said anything.
No one said anything. For the match. We're waiting for the match.
Oh.
This guy is...
Look at him ready to shout. Joe, man.
This guy, fam. It's because we spoke about a Japanese person. That's why he's defensive. If it was a black woman,
lock off the podcast.
if it was a black female wrestler, we wouldn't have this energy.
I'll leave this. How do you leave this?
My friend, just tell us the fucking match, man. What's all this? Tell us the fucking match, man.
Bro, I genuinely don't remember the match, but I'm gonna say Jun Kazai versus Masada.
Okay. CZW,
huh?
CZW.
Nah, it was Freedom, I think.
Oh, Freedom. Okay. The match I'm gonna give you guys is Athena versus Mayu Yamashita from Prestige last year in Jan. Athena, still one of the women's champion. Mayu Yamashita, one of my favorite Joshi wrestlers at the moment. She's really, really good. Yeah, man.
This
oligarchy. What's wrong with this oligarchy?
Just wanted to put a little update that Vikingo is no longer the AAA mega champion anymore. Vacated it after 133 days, which is mad. I think he's injured, isn't it?
Yeah, he's injured. But he re-signed with AAA, so AEW won't be poaching him anytime soon.
Good.
As people like to deny. We know
but yeah, man.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I know at Triple Mania, Monterrey is going to be Alberto El Patron versus Nick Nemeth for the vacant AAA. AAA are in the shits, man. They're done. Yeah, man.
Well, there's only one person that should walk out of that belt. And if it's not Nick, I'll swing.
Why does this guy stick his tongue out?
Who? Alberto El Patron.
You stuck your tongue out for another man.
Lock it off now. Locking it off.
That's a bow cat, fam. All right, cool. Hey, let's stop being childish, man. Let's lock this off. Well, we appreciate you guys every single time for tuning in every single week to hear this podcast. Without you guys, we are nothing. So please, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this guy?
I think.
His phone died.
I'm dead. Nepa took
last. Last minute.
No. Anyways, yeah. We appreciate you guys every single time for looking in. Please make sure you guys run up the comments. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you join the membership, for extra content. Please subscribe to CWH. That is Ola's YouTube channel. He's got some amazing 2K content. Please also subscribe to Gem's content as well. He's got some amazing content, whether it be football, whether it be just gaming, streaming. He's got some 2K content that's going to be coming out also. And yeah, I've been Del Boy.
Hey, subscribe to Del as well. He's got
I'm doing a rebrand. It's not going to be called Graps of Guap anymore, but it's where we're changing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Why are you talking from the shadows, fam?
What is it? I've done some negotiations with someone in it, so they're gonna take over the Graps buy, and then I'm gonna go moving on with something else.
Okay,
I'm gonna with my channel. I think I'm gonna actually start doing like IRL content though.
Okay,
I'm gonna do IRL content in it, and yeah, man, just have a bit of fun with it, man. I watch too much Kai Cena and Duke Dennis, and if I can try implement that with like wrestling content, like wrestling gaming. Hey, listen, we lit.
I hear it.
Right, but yeah, I've been Del Boy.
Young Wolf.
I've been Ola, made it to the end of the podcast. Good quality and that time.
Yeah, man. Big you guys every single time. We love you lot. Indie Takers out.